Okay. We're here with three guests. First of all, Sage Carter, who's a member of the school board of the Hudson City School District, is with us. And she introduced me to this project. And Josh Aronson, filmmaker of note, documentarian, is the project director clarify.
I'm the founder. The project director is sitting to my right, the inimitable Zoe Auerbach.
Uh-huh. Zoe, are you the...
Alan, do I have to take over already?
No, not yet.
Sorry.
You're the executive director, is that what you're called, of the Hudson project called Harmony Hudson, right?
Yes, Harmony Project Hudson, that's right.
That's right. Okay, well... That's about all I know.
Okay, I will take over. So what is the Harmony Project, and how did Hudson become part of it? Yeah.
The Harmony Project is an organization that was founded in Los Angeles by a force of nature named Margaret Martin, who discovered in the inner city sections of Los Angeles that there was a real lack of education in the arts, which has happened
everywhere
in America. But specifically, she noticed that in the lower-income areas in elementary schools, that music education was being cut, and it was something that was very, very impactful for her to see this. The reason was she used to walk around the streets of Los Angeles, and she noticed something once and then noticed it happen over and over again, which was there was a child, a young violinist that would play the violin on a street corner in Los Angeles, playing classical music. And she noticed gangbangers with tats and hair and attitude.
Ellen, do you know what a tat is, Ellen?
Not me. I don't know.
It's a tattoo.
Check here. Oh. Tattoo. that's Margaret's word. She loves saying tats.
That's just helping out, Ellen.
Yeah. And she noticed that these guys would pass this young violinist and stop and stare at her and give her money. And she was stunned by that classical music in that community could have such an impact. And so she thought she should help to make it a force in the community. So, as I said, she's a force of nature. She raised money, and she started a music program with a curriculum aimed at at-risk inner-city kids in the Los Angeles area. And long story short, that
program... We have plenty of time.
That program expanded over the next 15 years, and now it's in seven states. There's 35 or so such programs. And it was so effective in changing outcomes of kids in the inner city that the NIH got involved and decided to throw some money at figuring out what was it about this particular program giving music education to these inner city kids that made such a difference.
How did they measure outcomes?
They measured outcomes by graduation rates and the numbers of kids that went to college.
Wow.
And in that demographic area, the graduation rate was about 50%, which is to say the dropout rate was 50%. Pretty terrible. And so the kids that went to the Harmony Project, and we'll describe it in a minute, what it's very specific what it is, after-school program and Saturday program, very intensive learning of musical instruments. The kids that stayed in that program for a number of years and worked at it. Now, these are kids that in the same families as gangbangers who were dropped out. Same families, same demographic. The dropout rate went to 3%. Stunning difference. So this longitudinal study that was commissioned by the NIH was a neurological study to see if there was impact on the brains of these children. And they found and they proved that there was, that music education at that age level in at-risk kids could actually rewire the brain to offset the deficits of poverty. And it worked. And those kids are doing just great. So I make films, and I happen to shoot a little piece about this organization. And the people at PBS got wind of what I was doing, and they asked me to do a little 10-minute version. They were interested in the neurological study. They asked me to do a little 10-minute version that they could put on PBS Weekend News, which showed with the neurologist and with Margaret Martin and a couple of their kids what the impact of the program was on the community, on the families, on the individual. And it's just delicious to see this. So what happened was a couple of different people in different cities across America saw this, called the Harmony Project. I think one was Detroit and one was Cleveland. And they said, hey, we want to do this in our community. How do we get started? And so three or four programs started. And so hundreds and hundreds of children in other at-risk communities across the country were getting this program, life-changing musical education program, as a result of my little, 10-minute film. Mm. Well, I said, I want to make a difference. And I think this is the way I can do this. So I hooked up with Bard, and they're our partner in this, and Aaron Kanen, who's in the Civic Outreach Program at Bard, and I looked around, and we focused on Hudson as a place that could really benefit from this. And we sort of put out our net, and we connected with the school, and I met Zoe, who came on board, and we met Sage, who's at the Opera House, who came on board, and the community embraced this program. And long story short, we've started one here, and that's what the program is. It's called Harmony Project Hudson.
It was this past school year was the first year?
Yeah, I'm going to turn it over to Zoe, who can describe it to you, okay?
Okay.
So we started at the end of February this last year with a musicianship class that had about 24 students in it. And they got 16 weeks of basic musical instruction, so ear training and note reading. They got to play a bunch of classroom instruments, and learn various musical concepts and terms. We taught them all about the different kinds of instruments. And then over the summer, we had a three-week program that ran at the Youth Center in Hudson. And they learned recorders in the spring as well, and they continued that over the summer. They had chorus, and they had also a lot of things we weren't able to give them during the academic year. So they had dancing and acting and improvisation and poetry and lyric writing. And they gave a big performance at the end of that. That was really great. And we're looking forward this fall to having a new musicianship class coming in. We're accepting first and second graders at JLE into the new class. And we're continuing with our soon to be second and third graders, and they're going to be starting string instruments this fall.
Are you the head of the English music department at the school?
At JLE? Or
at JLE? Or
no, I'm not. I'm not affiliated with the school in Hudson
at
all. No,
I see.
No, I'm a violinist and a violin teacher, and I used to work at Bard, but I don't anymore. And
I think Ellen's bringing up a very important point. Which is our Harmony Project Hudson is we're affiliated with the schools in that we are in JLE and we're going to be in the middle school, but we're not part of the school system. I mean, the school system has completely embraced us and welcomed us in, and we're using facilities, but we're completely separate. We're completely scholarship driven. We'll get to that question. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. And we're not within the school curriculum of Hudson. We're outside of it. We're an after-school program and a Saturday program and a summer program, not part of the school.
So, Zoe, how many people teach in the program?
Last semester we had just one. We just had the musicianship mm-hmm. teacher. But over the summer we had five faculty members for the summer session. And this fall we'll have...
Now, are they volunteers or are they
actually... No,
they're getting stipends.
Oh, yeah, of course. This fall we'll have a violin teacher, a cello teacher, a chorus teacher. We'll be bringing our dance teacher back for workshops. And we'll continue to have our musicianship teacher, so we'll have quite a few more.
You know, I can see the value of music changing brain patterns. How do they measure dance and performance? Or do they?
Well, they do in a different way. I mean, teaching music is a complex affair.
Right.
Right. And dance, if you go, I visited Africa recently. I was in Mali filming for a project recently. It was a music project. And both in Mali and Ghana, children are born with music and dance. Mm-hmm. And it's because dance is rhythm and speaking is rhythm. Language is rhythm. So the earlier kids learn to move, the earlier they will speak well and they'll have rhythm in their lives. And, of course, that connects to being able to have any instrument that they're going to play. Mm-hmm. So when a Ghanaian child is born and starts drumming, they play 500 songs by five. Needless to say, they also speak very well. It's completely interconnected. Because the interesting thing is our goal is really not to make great musicians. Our goal is to make great citizens, to make students who can learn and become citizens. They'll also love music, but that's not our primary goal. And learning dance as a child, that movement is part of learning rhythm. And with the other teacher we have, we had a teacher who was teaching poetry. And the idea of poetry, of course, is it leads to lyrics, which leads to songs, because the kids will get engaged with writing songs.
You know, a number of people who write about the decline of rote memorization of poetry point out that children nevertheless manage to memorize song lyrics endlessly. So you can put that same skill to memorizing, you know, literature or poems. It has the same benefit.
So that's actually an interesting point.
Oh, thank you.
The Suzuki method, which our string curriculum is going to be loosely based on, actually it originates on the point that all children can learn music the same way they learn their native language. So there's a lot of ways that kids learn language in their homes, so mimicking and repetition and immersion and things like that that are mirrored in the Suzuki approach to teaching music. And I think when you have really young children, it's a really important to embrace the way that they naturally learn.
So how do you identify potential students for the program?
Well, our program is open to any interested students in JLE, in the Hudson City Schools, in the grades that we're open to. So right now we're accepting students from first and second grade, but we hope to expand to be K through 12 eventually. And certainly we'll be accepting students a bit younger and a bit older.
But not just schools. I mean, any students in the area.
Right, that's true. If they're homeschooled
So is the eventual goal to try to identify more at-risk students as opposed to just anybody who volunteers?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the community that we're looking could potentially benefit most and that we're most interested in bringing this programming to.
I mean, in that regard, would it be – I mean, interestingly enough, Berkshire deals with the alternate learning program. It seems to me this would be a natural – project to sort of I see Sage shaking her head. Does that mean that's in the works?
Currently the bridge is serving high school students,
right?
So our program will have to expand quite a bit
to the high school
to be ready
to get to that, right,
to accept that age student. But as we do expand, I think that would be perfect.
I guess, which brings up the next question: who's paying for all this?
To say one other thing, which is that we also, in the Harmony model in California, but also something we really want to bring here, is a mentorship program for the older students who have gone through the program for a few years and get to be, you know, high school students. Then there's a component where they help with the younger students and help teach or assist and in exchange for some of the programming that they're getting.
Is there any effort to tap into the incredible musical community that is sprouted here in Hudson?
Yes, actually, our chorus teacher is, starting in the fall, is going to be Tony Corraldo, and he's a pianist.
I know Tony well.
Yeah, in Hudson. And we are going to be getting our instruments from Craig Bender. And, yeah, we're very eager to work with the musicians that are already in Hudson.
So let's get back to that question. Follow the money. Who's paying for this?
As it is in California, this is a 100% scholarship program. So, if kids wanted to come in and there were families that could afford to contribute, that would be wonderful, and we'd love to get the contribution. But basically, the responsibility is on me. I've taken this on and guaranteed to some degree what the budget's going to be. So I've been just going up and down my friends and people we know and up and down the Hudson Valley, and we've enlisted the help of the development arm at BARD to help us identify people. And we're raising all the money for this.
Great.
So if I can just put out the plea that this is an organization that is helping children grow. It's building self-esteem. It's improving outcomes of kids in the Hudson area. And all the support that we can get would be fantastic. We have a website. And on there
and
is
that
a,
is?
It's our website is?
It's www.harmonyhudson.org.
There you go.
I think there's a way that one can make a contribution from the website. Or I'll just give you my email address. And anyone interested, please feel free to reach out, and I'll give you more information about it. And I'm very simple to find. It's just Josh Aaron, J-O-S-H-A-R-O-N, @AOL.com. An old-fashioned website, but
yeah,
it works.
Really.
But it works.
There actually is not right now a way to donate on the website, but there will be soon.
There will be soon.
We're working on that. Yeah.
So, Sage, how difficult was to steer this through the system here in Hudson?
You know, the school was interested in it right away. We're not in a position to be financial backers, but we were able to make the facilities available. And
which means backing them in terms of liability and stuff like that, right? I mean,
yeah, and
no,
making...
No.
Right, the liability is covered through Bart. Making classrooms available,
right.
and you know, really connecting the dots. My role with the Hudson Opera House was really where I kind of first came into this, rather than through the school district. But Joni at Promise Neighborhoods contacted me, and then we all got together with Bart and brought it into the schools, and. The school district provides great music classes right now, but the amount of time that kids get to do arts of any kind is so limited that it was just there, everyone jumped at it. So.
This is really exciting because I remember the Suzuki method when it kind of hit the schools and armies of kids with little squawky violins playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, I think it was. So how come this project is using recorders? Is it easier? Is it?
Well, we're going to start string instruments in this fall.
Oh, I see.
We just started with recorders in the general musicianship class so that the kids would be doing something physical and experiential with the note reading that they were learning. We thought if they were actively reading and playing, then they would process the material they were learning on the page better. So, and I think that was true. They got really excited to be playing instruments of any kind. And also, we sort of used it as a precursor to the string instruments because recorders are not quite as fragile and not quite as big. But we spoke very seriously with the kids before we gave them the recorders about taking responsibility for their instruments and caring for their instruments and you know, how important it was that we were entrusting these instruments with them.
Well, aside too from the brain pattern changing or it affecting your brain, there must be a great deal of self-esteem that goes along with it and maybe jealousy from kids who can't get in to the project yet.
Well, let me answer the first comment you made first. Certainly, that one of the great things about this, and I can only report what I did when I was making the film in California, and I see the same thing happening here because I come in and out. I come not twice a week because I live down in New York and Rhinebeck, but I come up when I can and I take pictures and I shoot film of it, and I see the kids grow. It's palpable to watch these kids that have come together, and there's little conflicts, and some of them have issues like all kids do, and there's some real obstacles to overcome, you know, in families and then issues in the school, and these kids have. It's a pool that's not perfect. So each one comes in and they're testing the waters, they're meeting new people. And over the course of time, when they're working together, they're making music together, they're harmonizing together, ultimately they get these little plastic instruments, these $8 instruments, and they read the same notes and they play and they feel what it's like to start to make music. You can see them come together, you can see them feel good. You can see how this program works. It's like magic. It's quite something. And I imagine, because I know the neurology of it, I imagine with all the things that our instructors and Zoe and the teacher who's teaching them musicianship, the different exercises they give them, I watch their brains grow. I watch their brains get wired because I know exactly what's happening. And you can see over time how this works. It's quite remarkable. And in terms of instruments, as they move towards getting a violin, a real violin or a real viola or a real cello, that they'll strap to their backs when they come, little half-size, you know, cellos of these first graders, second graders, third graders, they're going to have a cello. They're going to have pride about it, and they're going to get to take it home. And if it's anything like I've seen in California, these instruments will become their treasured possessions, and they'll take care of them. And in many instances, they never had anything like that that they had to take care of before. It was their responsibility to take care of it and clean it and put new strings on it. And, of course, we're budgeted to allow them to, when they have to have new strings, we'll get new strings for them. Zoe will teach them how to clean the instruments. And I dare say these are life lessons that build self-esteem and build socialization skills. It's extremely powerful.
Do some students come in with the illusion that they might become professionals? Or the reality, perhaps?
I'm not sure there are many kindergarten or first graders that have thought too much about that. But yeah. Certainly the level of instruction that we're intending to provide could allow for that.
Do any parents get involved?
Sure. We already have a pretty great core group of parents that have, a few were attending almost every class already. It's an open program, so I always let the parents know that they're welcome in the classes anytime. And, you know, just like I was saying with language, music is best learned and taught if there's a home environment that's sort of immersing the child in everything that they're experiencing at school. So it would be great if the parents were even more a part of it.
Have there been kids who find resistance at home or no help
to
from
the
home?
Program?
Yeah.
You know, I think so. Or ambivalence.
Yeah.
But we're really hopeful that as the effects of the program become more known and more students become involved, that will diminish.
So how many kids altogether are involved in this beginning?
So over the summer, we had between 20 and 30. We had a couple that like had to move at the end of the year, you know, after participating in our program. And then we got some new students who are going into first grade for our summer program. So right now we're between 20 and 30, and we're hoping to enroll another between 20 and 30 in the next musicianship class.
Wow. So, Josh, do you have to, in terms of this being a sustainable project, are you thinking far ahead in terms of your fundraising and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, and the goal of this, I mean, so we started the first semester with 23 kids, and then this summer we had more, and this fall we hope to have 40 kids. The goal ultimately is to have a full orchestra. So within a number of years, we want to have a chamber orchestra, we want to have string sections, we want to have brass, we want to have woodwinds. So we'll have an orchestra, and we'll have performances, and parents will come, and the community will come, and it'll be an ongoing effort. So yes, the idea is that this will be a longitudinal program that will be ongoing, and it might grow. And so from a fundraising perspective, we're looking for people that can help us in a sustainable way, ongoing. I'm trying to get people who will commit to an annual grant. We're going to be going after foundation grants. Any suggestions are really, really welcome. Once again, Josh Aaron at AOL. I can't help but say that.
In other cities where this project has taken off, have school systems ever decided to actually contribute to these programs?
In many instances, the school systems do. In fact, it's the advice of a Harmony Project to startups like us that we should enlist the school system to contribute something.
Yeah. So what do you think, Sage? You think they'll ever cough up some dough?
Oh, I think it's likely. I mean, I can't speak to the budget,
right.
But we have grant writers who are always looking for opportunities. And we have some really nice theaters in both the intermediate school and the high school, which are great places for the students to work and to perform. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways that the district can be involved.
And I should say we had a grant this last, our first year, from Hudson Community Schools.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Community Schools has been a huge supporter of the program, which has been phenomenal. Yeah.
You know, I'm not familiar with that organization. Is there a quick explanation of what they do?
Hudson Community Schools is, you should have Melanie on sometime to talk about it. They're a really interesting program. And I probably can't do it justice, but they got a 3-year grant to provide what's called wraparound services for our students to help with things outside of academics so that our students can succeed, you know, fill gaps that, so that the teachers aren't doing things other than teaching. And so they've been, the last couple of years, they've spent a lot of time and energy working on attendance and tardiness, and to help families and kids get to school every day and on time. They have done a lot of support for the arts in school. They've done work around nutrition, and it's a pretty big program. So,
was this a group that just organized in order to support the school system? I mean, or is it?
It's a grant. It's a little. I mean,
who applied for the grant?
Kathy Clark and Mental Health Associates City School District wrote the grant application together. So it was a collective.
So mental health had part of it, and I get it.
It was a collective.
Sorry, I'm for the sidebar. I just was curious about them.
Yeah. So, and they're in the schools every day. So they're there helping our kids and families every day.
So, Tom, is there anything else you'd like to know?
Well, I'd like to make an editorial comment. How sad it is that now we have to have all these other organizations do what schools often did on their own. What, you have something to add to that?
You know, the other thing, I realize we've given the perception that this is largely a classical music organization, and that is the focus, because ultimately we want kids to practice their instrument. That's a critical part of the neurological change, that kids, by practicing, their brain is being trained to focus and discern meaning from a noisy environment when they're playing in an orchestra. That's very clear. But we're also, Zoe is going to enlist local people and to teach jazz and hip-hop, and whatever the community of children sort of is interested in, we'll push it that way as well. So there's going to be a lot of variety. So kids of very different interests should think about this.
So I understand, Josh, you're also here to talk a little bit about your current film.
Oh, well, I didn't know that, but I will.
Well, I thought that, Ellen, you sent me an email saying that, didn't you?
That's okay.
Is it going to play around here?
I hope so. It's a film I made called Talent Has Hunger. Mm-hmm. Most of the films I make are music-based. It's sort of my other life besides filmmaking. And it's about a very famous cellist called Paul Katz, who's at the New England Conservatory of Music. And I followed his students.
That's where Tony Corralda went, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I followed his students, his studio of young cellists for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
So we see them grow up and learn and graduate and go off into the world. And I focus on four of them. And the idea of it is each one has a different relationship with music. And the subtext of the film is, how does music impact us, and how are the different ways that we can relate to music? It's a sort of an overall passion of mine, and a large project I'm doing is called The Soul of Music. And it's part of that, which is a look at how human beings have related to music for 50,000 years and why, looking at why. You know, it's just nothing but vibrating electrons that hit our eardrums and create emotion. It's kind of a miracle, and yet we've always had it. So that interests me, and it'll probably take me the rest of my life to dissect it.
Well, we hope it comes around here. It's making the festival circuit right now? Or?
No, it's in theaters now.
Oh, it's in theaters.
Actually, we're opening in Los Angeles next week. It's, I guess, probably most likely because it would be at TSL here.
Right.
I'll have to talk to them and see and chat to them, yeah.
So if you're listening, Linda and Claudia, there's something to put on your schedule.
They've shown my films
before. Oh. So we've been talking to Josh Aronson, Sage Carter, and Zoe Auerbach. And you are Zoe is the project director, is that what your title is? Of the, well, we'll call you that. Of the Harmony Harmony Hudson. Sage is both works at the Hudson Opera House, Ellen. Ellen's always getting Opera House people in here, you know. And she actually worries about it because I tease her that it's a conflict of interest, but it's not at all. But she's so, you know, conscientious.
Oh, actually, what? Oh. Sorry, if I can interrupt. I just like to mention that the Harmony Project kids are going to be performing at Winter Walk this year.
Oh, great.
So you can look for them, and that'll be really exciting because
We're really excited
another
to
convergence
have that opportunity. At performance opportunities. I once had a teacher who said that you learn more in a performance than in a year of study, and I think that's true.
So one more time, Zoe, can you give us your website address?
Oh, yeah. It's www.harmonyhudson.org.
Or you can email Josh Aronson directly at josharon@aol.com. I shouldn't crack up.
1A.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
1A.
I have Yahoo, so I'm kind of, you know, giving away my age, too. Anyway, Ellen, anything else you'd like to ask our guests?
No, but I'm really excited about the project. I think it sounds wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I'm jealous. As a kid, I didn't, you know, I went to a two-room schoolhouse. We didn't, you know, we had an old upright. We sang. That's about it.
By the way, Ellen, did you set up Sage to mention Winter Walk?
No.
Because we know how you're like the
I am no longer the guru.
Oh, you're not?
No,
oh,
I'm okay. I'm emeritus by okay. now.
You guys should go on the road.
Well, yeah.
He says